Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, welcome everyone. You are on The Build Up as we are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Minnesota Wild tonight at SAP Center. Pre-game 6:30, 7 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Ruzanowski and Scott Hannon on the call. With so many topics swirling around, I decided to bring in my good friend Alan Hoshida, who of course hosts Sharks pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports California. Hosh, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
We are good. It is Saturday. We just are hoping for a bounce-back performance. It's a beautiful day here in the city, and then it's going to be a beautiful Pride Night at the Tank, which is going to be pretty awesome to see. Unfortunately, we'll not be able to join in the festivities, but always a great night, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, should be a whole lot of fun. And next year, we got to get you out for the Pride scrimmage, which I emceed last night. But they had three teams. It was a round robin. Very fun affair. And for people like us who are big supporters in that community, it's a great event. So hopefully the scheduling will work out a little bit better next year. But, you know, the competition for the Sharks tonight is Minnesota. So on the second night of a back-to-back, Minnesota playing the way they are, what are your immediate thoughts about San Jose and what they need to do in this game?
Well, my immediate thought is they played so poorly in the lack of execution the night before that maybe you usually see kind of, and you talk about it too, it's like the recalibration. So maybe they'll come back and have one of their better games against the Wild. They also have tended this season to trend in, when they're playing against better opponents, their game is usually a little bit better. We've seen it against, you know, the Jets. We saw it against the Devils, Winnipeg, even though they didn't win that game at home, they played better. They played better against Vegas a couple times. But yeah, it's just when they play the teams that they know they're going to have to play better hockey against, they seem to play a little bit better, which is kind of frustrating because last night Utah was 1-5-2, I believe, in their last eight. They were struggling at home. And then the last other game I can think about before that is the Flyers. So they're frustrating in the sense that there isn't consistently that type of effort that you need to have night in, night out. And when you play to your opponent's caliber, that's where you get into some tough situations.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, when we talk about what the Sharks did last night, I mean, the puck management was what drove me absolutely up a wall, Alan, because they had only given up one goal until essentially 90 seconds left in the game, but they only had 19 shots on goal, partly because they were very timid and partly because they kept on giving the puck away.
Yeah, and I was sitting with Mark Smith, obviously watching the game, and he pointed it out pretty quickly and pretty passionately that they're getting their pocket picked all the time. Like, not even – sometimes it wasn't even like a bad pass. They had those too, but it was just like you're skating up the middle of ice and they didn't have the awareness that there was a guy right behind him, lift the stick, and they're going back in transition. Their puck management last night was not great, and I believe it's something we're going to talk about in pre, but if you're not shooting the puck, if you don't have the puck, you then also have to do the little things in finish some checks, my friends. Like, if you don't have the puck, you have to do things to get the puck, and I just believe that they got to be more physical. They don't have, unfortunately, they don't have the talent level up and down the lineup to be a finesse skill team night in, night out. And if you can muck it up and if you can go in there and grind it out and get some slime in your game a little bit, I think that's how you're going to win more games. We've seen that's kind of their formula when they play and they win some of these games against the Devils that were tight games, the 1-0 game in Jersey, and then the most recent one back here at home. They have to play a game that just pisses the other team off. They have to be the nagging team, the team that never goes away, which they have. I mean, that was their 20th close game loss this season. But I was watching the Canucks-Caps game, and it's just something that stands out to me. And even the game that's on right now as we're doing this, the Panthers-Bruins game, and I know the Bruins are struggling, but they're just so physical. They finish checks, they hit you, and I just don't see that from the Sharks right now. And I know that's not entirely, you know, Macklin's not going to be doing that, but Macklin does finish checks, and you know, Will Smith's not a physical guy, but you do have some guys in the lineup. Kostin, I know he went out, but Cunning, Goodrow, you know, Kovalenko when he's in there has got to throw bodies. But even if you're not that type of player, finish a check when you're going in for forecheck and finish the body and go to the body. Toffoli, Macklin can do that. You know, Zetterlin should be, you know, could be their power forward. So I guess I'm going on a little tangent, but I think they just need to be a more physical team, a harder team to play against, and that usually maybe they can make their own luck that way.
Especially when they get a 1-0 lead a minute into the game on the road. Yeah. Like for me, Alan, that's got to be a moment where you start punishing the team. There's blood in the water. You've got to start buzzing around and being physical and taking control of the game. But they scored that goal last night, and then it seemed like they completely took their foot off the gas. That play that led to them getting that goal was about as aggressive as they were until they had the power play at the end of the game, at which point they kind of decided to be physical again. And it was like, guys, you're running out of time. Let's focus on the puck.
And you're playing against a Utah team that was not good at home. They haven't won at home, I think, since mid-November. So, you know, they're probably – we've talked about with the Sharks all these bad trends that they're trying to get out of their game, how they kind of creep in. So I'm sure that they go up 1-0. Utah's like, oh, no, here we go again. And you just keep pushing. And then against Utah, this whole series all year, there's been some fireworks. You know, Sharks come back in the first one. And then the second one, there's some penalties or non-calls. Warsaw gets fined. Stenlin buries Macklin into the boards. Again, no real answer for that. I think that's kind of what you're talking about. And what I think is if you go up 1-0 within the first minute, that's when you can take some liberties, right? That's when you can go say, hey, dude, Kevin Stenlin, we're going to fight this thing out. You can't go board our 18-year-old guy and not expect anything to come after that. And they never did that. They did it with a minute left. After Eklund got a wicked high stick, and I know it was an accident, that one, but it was bad. And then Eklund does come to the defense of Zetterlin. When Stenlin puts Zetterlin kind of, I don't know if spear is the right word, but it wasn't not a spear, into the boards. Like, teams are taking liberties, especially Utah, who is the most penalized team in the league. They're taking liberty with your star players, the young guys that you're trying to build around, and there's just not – the response that you would want when you're up 1-0 or when it's 1-1. I know as you get later in the game, you probably don't want to start dropping gloves and stuff, but I think they had opportunities to show that there's some pushback. And I just think their toughness last night was tested. And I don't think they answered the bell very well.
Georgiev's been answering the bell in his last two games. I think that his play has been much better than what we previously saw. And, you know, I think the one thing that you and I have noticed in games is talking about how kind of busy he is net front. Yeah. And it seemed like after those first two goals against Vegas, he really calmed down. And then suddenly his presence is a lot better than it was. And the goals that he gave up last night, I didn't really take umbrage with either of them. And I wonder, you know, how much of that is him getting his confidence back and also the work of Thomas Spear, who seems to be figuring out how to fix goalies. Because we look at Mackenzie Blackwood, and I don't think there was anything particularly wrong with Vitek Vanacek, but when Vitek Vanacek was coming back from his injury, he looked to be pretty solid once he got in form, and now we're watching Georgiev. He had about, what, 5-6 days off when Askarov had two consecutive starts, and then suddenly it looks like the lessons he's learned are being applied in real time, and he just looks so much more calm in the crease.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that stands out the last two games for him, is that he's not moving quite as much lateral and losing the net, which I think he was kind of maybe moving, I don't know, from my eye, and just moving a little bit too far off his spots. And he talked about it in post game, not last night, but against after Vegas, the Knights, that he talked about how he's been working with Spear, and it's been a lot more just fundamentals and technical stuff. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to try and reinvent the wheel, especially with Georgiev, who won, I think, 78 games or something last 2 years. So it's more about just fine-tuning. Hey, maybe you don't need to move so much. Keep it in that. And he's been good. He's been really good. There's not much you can do on either of those goals. The guys are in point-blank range, and they have so much space. that you're really just putting your goalie in a bad spot to try and make that save. They were like 12 feet, 10 feet away from him, 10 feet away from him. I mean, like, it's hard to do. And then if he only gives up two, you're thinking you have a really good chance to win that game. And the Sharks did have a really good chance to win this game. They just still, what Warzo's talked about is not figured out, like, when the moment they need to push it. When the moment is, okay, this is the turning point, and we gotta push it. So, yeah, but Georgiev overall, really good the last two games. I think he's playing himself into shape, which is good. And I think, like you said, that week off, sometimes a week off where you can just practice, which I'm sure he hasn't probably practiced that much since, what, training camp? So it was probably a good little break for him. And it's good to see him kind of turning into refining his game. And of course, it's going to be now, let's see if we can do three games in a row, but it's probably be Askarov tonight.
Let's talk about offense or lack thereof. Fabian Zetterlund got his first goal since mid-December, which, Alan, if you'll recall, is right about the time we started talking about contract extension. Is it fair to say that maybe these contract talks are weighing on Zetterlund?
You know, I thought about that briefly yesterday, and really because we talked about the Lund line before in pregame, and when I looked at it, I was like, really, the Lund line has been William Eklund since returning.
Yeah.
William Eklund's been very consistent. Granlund's kind of cooled off here over the last 10, 15 games so much. And Zetterlund, you know, he'll have two, three games really point production wise, and then kind of not have anything there. But now, hopefully now this start is something else. He loves Utah too. He scored four goals in three games against him this year. So if he could play Utah and Macklin can play the Blues every game, they'd be very, very good.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure those talks maybe weigh on him. And I don't know. I don't know if they needed to start at that point. I don't know. I don't know how these negotiations really work, but you hope that he just goes and plays because he's still on track to have a career year points-wise. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to see him kind of bring the point production because he has been a decent enough player all year, and he's been one of the bright spots, and I think he is taking steps. Now the next step is maybe being night in, night out, getting a point here and, or, 75 points, 70, 76, 65 points per season would be a good one to get going. But yeah, I don't know. And I hope that it's something that just kind of starts clicking. I think we do look at the Lund line overall and say, oh man, it's really good. And they have a lot of chemistry, and they do. I also think that it's not without, if we're not looking at it too critically, if we do say that there's points that they struggled together as well.
Yeah.
So if they could bring the energy they brought from the very first shift to the rest of the game, I think the Sharks are in a much better spot because it is such an offensive line. But I think it's something the Sharks need to happen. And hopefully if Zetterlund keeps going, Eklund keeps doing what he's doing, and Granlund goes wrong, at this point in the season, there's many reasons why if that line starts humming, it's good for the Sharks.
My buddy asked me after the game last night, he said, what's up with Macklin? One goal, 1 point overall in the last five games. And I thought about it for a second and I said, well, they've only scored eight goals combined in the last four games. So it's hard to score if no one is scoring. And I know that obviously someone is scoring, but it's a 3-2-1-0-2-1 in these last couple of games. I mean, they're not getting goals.
Yeah. And I don't think, this was going to come, right? There was going to come a point in this season where, as good as Macklin Celebrini is, that he's going to hit a proverbial wall, or there's going to be a little slump. I mean, he's played what now? That was game 44, right? So he's played 32.
Yeah.
He's played 32. He only played all of last year with World Juniors 42 games in the entire year. And so when the NHL, that's part of what everyone talks about. And I know fans and people are like, oh, well, they should play. They're 18 years old. And yes, 100%, they're 18 year old. They have young legs. But if they're only used to playing 40 games in an entire 12 months, and they just played 32, and he really played 32 games in like 3 months, like that's a lot of difference. And so, yeah, he's going to, you've also saw it with Randy made a good point on the broadcast. Is Michkov has kind of cooled off here lately. Hudson has not. He's kind of been on a tear, but there was points where he was kind of quiet too at some points. So you just see it that there's going to be times where they're just going to have these little lulls. And I imagine he's going to come firing back. And when he re-clicks in, it's going to be 10 points in 10 games or something like that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of what you're waiting for. And the other thing that I often look at is that one of the talking points is that October and November hockey are not the same as January, February, March hockey in the NHL. And I think that's the adjustment. You know, these teams really start to get into form. And Bruce Cassidy said it to Drew Remender, at least he's who referenced it, and said something to the extent that we don't really know who we are as a team until we're halfway through the year. And that's a good team like Vegas. And so, you know, this is when things start to get really, really difficult in the NHL. The second half of the season is entirely different than the first half.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and this is now where teams are pressing the gas because the trade deadline is coming up in a month and a half. So they need to find out where they are. You have teams who now know who they are, whereas maybe the first 2 months, the Sharks are catching teams when in that November month where teams were finding out identity. But I also think, we're starting to see what the Sharks are. And the Sharks are a team that are going to pretty much be in every game, right? Like there's only been 5 to 7, 5 to 8 games where they've just been kind of blown out this year or just not brought it. But for the most part, Coach Warsawski's got this team playing a brand of hockey that is going to be pretty competitive night in and night out. And that's good. Like the 20 close game loss, which is for the NHL, a 1-goal or 2-goal game with an empty netter. That's way better. They only had 12 in 44 or 14 in 44 last year. So that's where you could see that, yes, they're taking steps, but there's still a little bit of ways, but at least we can actually show up to the rink or we show up to our studios when we're getting ready for shows and say, hey, we think, you know, the Sharks are going to be a competitive bunch tonight. Will that means that they're going to come away with a win? That's something we don't know at this point. And it's, you know, not as often as I'm sure the team likes, and they don't like to lose better, like you've talked to the guys about, but they are losing better. And they are a team that is going to pick off. They are a team now that if you're a better team and you don't have your A game, or maybe your B-plus game, there's a chance you lose to the San Jose Sharks. And that's, you know, that's marketable improvement because last year, I don't think teams needed to even play maybe the top three letters, A, B, or C game, and they still had a chance to beat the San Jose Sharks. So that, to me, is what we need to circle here, 44 games about midway through, and say there is improvement. It's getting better. It's still super frustrating when they lose. But we're looking at the silver lining here a little bit and saying this is kind of who the Sharks are at this point. And maybe they can take more steps here in the final month and a half to really push the gas into the off season. I will say, and this is, I've talked to you about this, January, this month is a huge month for the Sharks to find out where they're going to be, because February, they have 6 games, 6 games in the entire month. And then they have the trade deadline, basically. So this month is huge to see, okay, how close are they to, you know, maybe they get in the, if they have another huge month like they did in November, maybe they're on the skirts and they make Mike Greer contemplate things. I don't know if we're going to get there because of how bad December was, but it's a huge month to also see, okay, does Mikhail Granlund push towards the trade deadline? What are they going to do with Georgiev, Vitek? They have 5 or 6, I want to say, unrestricted free agents coming up. So this is a huge month to figure out what the direction this team is going to be.
We'll have more of that interview tomorrow morning on Morning Tide as we look back at the San Jose Sharks and the Minnesota Wild. But always good checking in with Alan Hoshida. And again, more of that coming up tomorrow morning. For the San Jose Sharks, I think it's a matter of paying attention to those first 10 minutes of the game when the legs could be tired on the second night of a back-to-back. And Minnesota is a very dangerous team that can punish you if you're not ready to react to what they are bringing. They are currently sitting at 26-12-4, 56 points on the season, as the Sharks currently sit at 13-25-6 with 32 points on the season. So obviously, very different situations for both of these two teams. But we are out of time. Again, pregame 6:30, go time 7 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
Face off, drop, Sharks have it. CeCe throws it over to Granlund, who shoots right on safe. Rebound, score! Fabian Zetterlund gets the rebound in front and goes up top. And the Sharks fan contingent here in Utah explodes in excitement as San Jose leads 1-0 only 58 seconds after the opening faceoff.